Praise the Lord.
Guys, have a good week. Have a good week. Yeah. Not too much answers, huh? I had an interesting week this week. I wasn't here last Sunday because I had this horrific cough, sinus and stuff that goes with that, and then I lost my voice. And you know how bad that would be. You know, yeah, Julie, yay! Everybody else is doing that too, I think, actually. You know, yay, he lost his voice. I could croak pretty good. I found like a frog, I could do that pretty well. But other than that was about it. So, but yeah, I didn't feel too bad. You know what I mean? Things getting better. But I missed you guys last week. I really enjoy church. I really do. I really enjoy coming to church and seeing you guys. And you guys are beautiful family to me. And I appreciate that. I really do. And Les's not here today. He's out with the Gideons today. He's doing some Gideon stuff. And Matt's not here today. Yeah, but just the elders aren't here. Jesse, he's the elder today, the only one we have. So, and you got stuck with me. So I guess you got to listen to what I got to say. But no, you don't have to listen to what I got to say. You got to listen to what God's got to say, because he's got something to talk to us about this morning. And the last couple sermons I preached has been like, I don't know where you're taking this. I don't know what this is all about. And then this morning it was like, I got up at 2:30. It was great. I couldn't sleep. I was coughing. I thought, well, you know, hey, you know, it's only 2. It's 2:30. It's getting pretty late. I break it up. So I got up and I studied and thought, and the Lord was like, I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. And then Jamie did her devotion this morning. He's like, she gave you the comfort part of it. I'm probably going to give you the harder part of it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and see what the Lord's going to take you this morning. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning. Father, we are looking for you and needing you to show up this morning. We need your leading and your guiding, Father, and we need all your blessings that we can afford this morning. Just to apply it to our lives, and Father, the words that we've spoken, that I speak, we've spoken from you. Father, we can apply them to our hearts and take them into our minds, and we can apply them to our life. We praise you, Father, to become more like you. We thank you, Father. We just ask you to be with us this morning. We need all the help we can get. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Yeah, my voice is not too great, so maybe I'll be able to quit talking. I won't be able to talk, so we'll see. Maybe that'll be a good thing. Or after a bit. So we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 2. Jamie read some of this. I was in there last time I preached here a couple weeks ago. I was in this, and I don't know. There's building block things here, and I think we need to apply them to our life. I've been preaching, literally. I've been preaching that we need to be in the Word. We need to be reading the Bible more. We need to be studying the Bible more. We need to know more about it. And the reason that I keep, not pun a word, but preaching that to you, is that it is so very important for your life. It is so very important for us to get through this life, okay? And when we apply this stuff to our life, then things don't get easier. Life's tough, right? We ain't got no water. Huh? What are we going to do? Let's go out and lick snow. Now, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's one thing, but yeah, it's like, well, whatever. But so in 2 Peter chapter 1, Jamie kind of already read this, and I... These are building blocks. And I was looking into this, and there's a lot of things you can go into this, but there's seven qualities here that Peter brings out, okay? Seven. Seven is the number of perfection, right? For those of you number people, there's mathematical people. Seven is the number of perfection. And these seven things that he talks about here are goodness, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Okay. And what he's saying here is Peter's saying, hey, for this reason, you want to add. You got your faith. You have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have a believing, saving, knowledgeable faith of Him, right? He is God. He died, He rose again, and I believe He did it. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we have that faith. Peter said, now add to your faith this stuff. Okay? In a lot of ways you can look at this. This word for add, I had to write this down. I'm a word picture guy. This word for add is a lavish extravagant. It was used in the Greek culture of a choir master. If you had a choir here, the choir master was one that gave everything that the choir needed lavishly so they could sound awesome singing and playing. Awesome! It's a lavishly giving. Peter says you need to add this to your faith. He's talking about, you know what? You need to just pile this stuff on. You know what I'm saying? That's what the word add means. Okay, let's go on here. So we got seven things, seven qualities. Let me add this. And I looked for one this morning, but I couldn't find one in the snow. You all know what an acorn looks like, right? You ever seen an acorn? You ever seen an oak tree? They're big, right? I mean, they get pretty good size, right? That little acorn is where that oak tree come from. Now, when you plant that acorn, you don't have to say, now, come on now, you can grow. You got it. You got this. You're going to be big, right? You don't have to talk to the acorn. You don't have to do nothing to the acorn. Everything that acorn needs to be a tree is in it. Pretty cool, huh? When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, everything you need to be just like Christ is in you already. Do you believe that? You look in the mirror like me and go, oh, boy. He messed up on this one, didn't he? Huh? You know what I'm saying? Everything you need is in there. So, I just want to break these to you again. Okay. Goodness. Living to glorify God. Being pleasing to God. Goodness. Living to glorify God. Knowledge. Responding to divine revelation. Where do we get our divine revelation? The Word of God. And I was looking at this word for knowledge. It's like, you notice I wear glasses. Some of you do, some of you don't. I can't see really great without them, okay? I can see people. I know you're out there. I can see Tim. I can see Jenny. I know they're back there. They always sit in the same chair, so I know it's them, okay? Right? And I can see him back there, but when I put my glasses on, I'm like, man, that Tim is a handsome devil. My gosh. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just had these prescription checks, so they're good, Tim, so you can believe it, okay? But you see what I'm saying? I mean, I kind of can see them, but when I put my glasses on, it just really brings that, I can see them, okay? That's what this knowledge is. That's what the meaning of this knowledge is. It's like taking a pair of binoculars and looking at something. You can see it out there, but it brings it right up close where you can actually see it. You know it better. That's what this knowledge word is talking about. Self-control. Got any of that going on? Huh? Self-control? Boy. Self-control is an interesting word. It's only used four times in the New Testament. Talks about mastering your desires, your passions. It's self-control, right? Right? Do we have self-control? Yeah. I think we have self-control until we don't, right? Huh? It's true. It's just like we'll get into patience, but it's the same thing. We have it until we don't have it. And we lose it, right? Self-control. Especially when you're driving up in Cleveland, right? Those people are awesome drivers up there. They know exactly what they're doing. And they use their turn signals all the time. And they're very good at hand gestures up in Cleveland, too. So you have to have self-control to drive in Cleveland, okay? Okay, what else we got? Endurance. Wow. That running thing. You got to have a little endurance to do that, right? You do, right? You do. The definition for endurance is not quitting until God releases you. Not quitting until God releases you. We are stuck in this old life, for better or for worse, for harder or for easy, for whatever it is, until God releases us. Isn't that awesome? Godliness. And I got here, seeking to please God with your choices. Do you ever think about a choice you're going to make and think, now what would God think of that? That's a big piece of cake. Chocolate. With whipped cream. It's got a cherry right on the top. What would God think about me eating that? He'd probably think it's a good idea, wouldn't you? Right? You see what I'm saying? When we think about making choices, we think, what would God think about that choice? You know? And it makes me stop sometimes and change my decisions. You know what I mean? So what do we got? Brotherly affection. Caring for the well-being of others, other members of God's family. Brotherly affection. I have a lot of brothers and sisters in this church. I really do. I really do. I consider you brothers and I consider you sisters. I love you that way. I do. I really do. And that's not something that I was made with. That's something that God has developed over time. A long time. And then we have love. Compassion and righteously seeking the well-being of others, including non-believers. Including that guy that cuts you off when you're driving. You be compassionate to that guy? I hope you wreck. That's not being very compassionate, is it? No, that's terrible. You have to confess that as sin, right? I can't do that. So we're looking at these things, and you know, like I said about the oak tree, the acorn, all that stuff is in it to make it grow. All this stuff is in you. We have to work at making it happen in the life. It's not something that I automatically don't have compassion for people. Automatically don't. And I told you my definition of compassion. Your pain in my heart. That's compassion. That's when you can look at somebody and you can really feel their pain in your heart and you have compassion for them, right? That's what Christ did on the cross. He looked at you and me. He knew we were sinners. And he knew there was no way we were going to get to heaven without what he did. And he did it. He paid the price on the cross for our sin. Pretty amazing, huh? Pretty amazing. And interestingly enough, 2 Peter was written very shortly before Peter was killed. He was martyred. Yeah. And the reason we know that is if you read on down through here, and let's read some of this. I want to see, you read through verse 8 there, for these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you. They will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about being fruitful. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind. Short-sighted. Seeing only what is near to him and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. Wow. Because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous. That's a big word. And eager to make sure your calling and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall. Peter's saying here, hey, you know, if you build yourself, if you add these virtues, add them to your faith, you're going to be fruitful for the Lord. Why does that matter? To be fruitful? I mean, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I got it made, right? And no matter what happens to me, I'm going to heaven. Woohoo! Yeah! What do I care about anybody else? What do I care? Right? I could be that way, right? You could be that way, right? You could not care, right? That's being unfruitful. You didn't get saved. God did not save you. God did not save you to just got it made. Kick back, take it easy. Wow. Huh? No. He gave us trials and troubles and stuff in our life, and he brought people before you saying, what are you going to do with that person? What are you going to do with that person that hates you? What are you going to do with that person? What are you going to do with that person that makes fun of you? What are you going to do with that guy? That's not the answer, right? We have to be fruitful. We're supposed to be fruitful. We're supposed to bear fruit. If you plant an apple tree out in the backyard and it comes up, and do you expect to get something from it? Unless a deer eat them, right? Darn deer anyway. They got to eat too. I mean, if you plant a tree that's fruit bearing of some kind, cherries or whatever, you plant a tree, you expect something from it, right? You expect something. God planted His Holy Spirit seed in you. He expects something from you. Yeah, He does. And you say, Matt, why is that? And it really come to me this morning. Let's go to the book of James. It's just one book to the left here, James. James chapter 2. I want to read you something. James chapter 2. Verse 14. Start. It says, "What is the use, my brethren, for anyone to profess to have faith if he has no works to show for it? Can such faith save his soul? If a brother or sister is poorly clad and lacks food for each day, and one says to them, 'Catch you later, keep yourself warm, be good, talk to you better, bye-bye,' what good does that do? Nothing, right? So also faith," verse 17, "if it does not have works, deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself, it is destitute of power, inoperative, dead." If your faith doesn't have works, why are we doing the works? Maybe get saved better? My salvation better? Why do we do works? I was asking myself that question. We're probably going to run way out of time before I can answer it for you. So I guess, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is not up here, Alan. Sorry, brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to read something here. We're going to stop at a couple of verses. I'm not going to be able to cover everything I wanted to because I ain't going to have time. But I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And according to verse 10. Let's start in verse 10. It says, "According to the grace of God bestowed on me, like a skillful architect and a master builder, I laid the foundation, and now another man is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if anyone builds upon the foundation, whether it be with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw," verse 13, "the work of each one will become plainly known, shown for what it is. For the day of Christ will disclose and declare it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test and critically appraise the character and worth of the work each person has done." Wow. Saying here in Corinthians, saying, you know, the work that you do, if it is not done for the Lord, is going to be tested by fire. In verse 14, "If the work which any person has built on this foundation," and I read the Amplified here, "any product of his efforts, whatever, survives this test, he'll get his reward." Verse 15, "But if any person's work is burned up under the test, he will suffer the loss of it all, losing his reward, though he himself will be saved, but as one who has passed through the fire." What's that say to you? It says to me that the work that I do, you know, you guys know I'm a mechanic, heavy equipment. I work on a lot of equipment. I do. I've been doing this 40 years. 40 years, I say, that's a long time, isn't it? I'm getting old. Huh? I've been working on equipment for 40 years. I've been fixing stuff for 40 years. And you know, when I'm dead and gone, nobody's going to care if that equipment's fixed or not. You know what I mean? It's just stuff. I have worked really hard to fix stuff. I worked long hours, really hard to fix stuff. And that work is all going to be burned up by fire because it wasn't for the Lord. Wow. All the things that I do for the Lord are going to come through that fire. And I'm going to get a reward for that. You think, I'm going to get a reward. Huh? No. And there's a lot of rewards in the New Testament. I think there's seven of them. Seven crowns rewards. I think the reason we're going to get our rewards is we're going to lay them at the feet of Christ and thank Him for letting us do it. I really believe that. But anything you do that is not done for the Lord is going to be burned up with fire. And what's it say in verse 15? It says, it's going to be lost, though he himself will be saved, but only as one who has passed through a fire. Wow. There's not much hope. Huh? Barely made it into heaven? Huh? So you think, well, Matt, works doesn't save me. No, it doesn't. But your works are going to be tested and tried. And all right, we'll look at it. Let's go to the book of Revelation. I ain't going to get very far today. I'm sorry, guys. Revelation, the very last book of the New Testament. I want you to see a couple things here. I don't know why the Lord pressed this on me, but he did. So I want you to see this. You know, I guess it's a responsibility of the people that are teaching the Word to show you what it means, to show you what God means by what he's saying. And it's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to understand it. And when I was looking at that, I thought, well, gosh, my works. You know, we're not saved by works. Works, I could sit back and do nothing. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I don't have to do anything, right? But my works that I do are fruit that God is requiring me. If I'm going to be more like Christ, as Jamie said in devotion, did he just sit around and do nothing? Huh? He did. He was out there. He was out walking and healing people and healing people and healing people and doing stuff, right? I think God expects the same of us. Revelation chapter 6, we're going to start there first. I want you to read something. I want to read something here too. It's real quick. These seals that are being broken. Chapter 6, verse 9. Look at this. Verse 9. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. It says, when the Lamb broke open the fifth seal, I saw at the foot of the altar the souls of those whose lives have been sacrificed for the Word of God, for the testimony they have borne. What? He says, when he broke open this fifth seal, when the Lamb broke open the fifth seal, John says, I saw at the foot of the altar the souls of those people, those Christians who have been martyred and killed for their faith. God ought to protect them, right? No, they were killed. Verse 10, they cried in a loud voice, O Lord, holy and true, how long now before you will sit in judgment and avenge our blood upon those who dwell on the earth? These saints that are killed saying, God, how long is it going to be till you get them? Sick them! Get them! Huh? Verse 11 says, then they were given a long and flowing and festive white robe, told to rest and wait patiently a little while longer until the number should be completed of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed as they themselves had been. Wow. So there is a number of saints, God's holy people, who are going to be killed for the faith. You know, you don't see it on secular news, but there are, I think last year alone, I think there was 20-some thousand Christians were killed in the world. We don't have any problem here. We don't have to worry about somebody killing us because we're Christian, do we? Right now. Christians being killed every day around the world because for no other reason than they are a Christian. Wow. So, just because you're a Christian, don't think that God's going to keep you from harm. He has protected me so many times, I can't tell you how many. But you know, when my number's up, my last time around the sun happens that last day, I'm going home. So I say, okay, that's interesting, Matt. So what are you getting at here? Let's stay in the book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. I want you to see something here. There's a thing that happens in heaven. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's when the Lord Jesus Christ gets his bride, which is the church, which is you and I. Isn't that cool? And in chapter 19, let's look at it here. I don't want to beleaguer this any more than we have to. Verse 6. Let's go to verse 6. Revelation 19, verse 6 says, after that I heard what sounded like the shout of a vast throng, like the boom of many pounding waves, like the roar of terrific and mighty peals of thunder. This is loud, right? Exclaiming, hallelujah. For now the Lord our God, the omnipotent, all ruler, he reigns. Let us rejoice and shout for joy. Let us celebrate and ascribe to him glory and honor, for the marriage of the Lamb at last has come, and his bride has prepared herself. Verse 8, She has been permitted to dress in fine linen, dazzling and white. For the fine linen is, signifies, represents righteousness. The Amplified says the upright, just, and godly living, deeds and conduct, and right standing with God of the saints, God's holy people. Did you catch that? The clothes that you are going to wear at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The robe that you're going to wear at the marriage supper of the Lamb consists of the deeds that you did. What? That's interesting, isn't it? I had a preacher tell me, he said, I think sometimes people will be there in their socks. Because they didn't have any deeds. They didn't do anything. Maybe it's a person that got saved on their deathbed. It happens. People get saved on their deathbed. They had nothing. And I guess all this to say, God expects you to do something. He expects you to bear some fruit. Maybe a little, maybe a lot. I don't know. Maybe there's one person in the whole world that only you can talk to and save. Maybe there's 100,000 people that a preacher talks to on their TV or radio and he gets the people to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and saves them. I don't know. Maybe you're that person. Maybe you're a preacher of your own TV. I don't know. But God has something for you to do. And when I was looking at this, I thought, okay, it's a little bit scary, isn't it? My works are going to comprise of what I'm going to wear at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So that kind of gives me a reason, maybe. But you know, I thought about that. Why do you do what you do for people? Why do you do what you do for your kids? It's for your own good. Is that what we do? Sometimes, right? You know what I'm saying? But why do we do what we do for our own kids? Because we love them, right? You'll drive for hours and do whatever you got to do. That's what you do, right? Because you love them, right? I think God expects the same from us. I think He expects us to do for Him. I think He expects us to bear fruit because we love Him. And because I realize what He did for me. Whew. It was a lot. He had to forgive a lot of me. And He does every day still. Huh? So when I realize this, I think, wow. You know what's really neat? Revelation 20, there's a great white throne judgment here. We might as well look at it. We're going to look at it for a few minutes. Revelation chapter 20, we're right here. And let's start in verse 10. You know, everybody says, you know, everything starts, we got a beginning and an ending, and Revelation is the last book. It's pretty cool. We win and we do. Verse 10, Revelation 20, verse 10 says, then the devil who had led them astray, he is a deceiver. He was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone where the beast and the false prophet were. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan's going to get his. Verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, the one who was seated upon it, from whose presence and from the sight of those whose face earth and sky fled away, and no place was found more. You know, when that great white throne is set up, you can't hide. Verse 12, and I also saw the dead, great and small, and they stood before the throne, and the books were open. Praise the Lord for the books. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged. They were sentenced by what they had done in accordance with what was recorded in the books. The sea delivered up the dead were in it. Death and Hades delivered up, surrendered the dead in them. All were tried and their cases determined by what they had done according to their motives, aims, and works. Verse 14 says, death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anybody's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. You understand, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, your name is written in the book of life. Isn't that cool? your name is written in the book of life. And at the last, when God judges, when the Lord Jesus Christ sits on his white throne and judges the acts of every person, you're going to be judged for every idle word. You know that? There's a verse of scripture that says that. I didn't look at it. You're going to be judged for every idle word. You ever say anything you wish you could took back? Just me? I must be the only one. Yeah. We're going to be judged for every idle word. But you know what's really cool about it? I think when the accuser or the judge, when a judge says, hey, look what Matt said. Look what he said. Look what he said. Lord Jesus Christ is going, you know what? I think I paid that one in full. I paid that debt in full. I paid every debt that he ever accrued for sin that he ever committed. I paid it. He's mine. Isn't that cool? Isn't that great? You're not going to have to fear that at all. We shouldn't fear that. I guess I kind of fear not doing enough for him. And that's what the Lord was impressing on me this week. Couldn't talk, so I couldn't talk to anybody. It was probably a good thing, you know. I thought about Paul this week, losing your mother. I talked to Paul a little bit. I told him, I said, you know, how great would that be to be in the arms of Jesus? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be the most awesome thing could happen? To leave this life, to be in the arms of Jesus. Gets me excited. I don't know. All the promises in God's promises are yes in Christ Jesus. And that was the title of the sermon. We didn't get there. Most important decision you'll ever make in your life, whether you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. The most important decision you will ever make. Because without Him in your life, I don't have forgiveness of my sin. Without Him in my life, I don't have the Holy Spirit to guide me, to give me direction. Without Christ in my life, I don't have the promises of God that are yes in the book that I can say, you know what, God? You tell me that I can do all things through you, I'm going to. And he says, you can get up there and sing.
Really?
Yeah. And he made me. You can get up there and preach. Yeah, he made me. You know what? I think I'm a better person for it. I may not act any better, may not be any better, but I think I'm a better person for it. Because it makes me want to study and get in the book and read more and learn more about Him so I can share that with you. Because everything I learn, I'm going to share with you. Some of it I don't like either. But I share it with you. Because God gives it to me. It ain't for me. I want to read you something real quick. And we're done. I wrote this down because I like the way this is worded. It says, if you ever wonder if God understands you, He does. If you ever wonder if God listens, He does. If you ever wonder if the uncreated Creator comprehends the challenges you face, He does. If anyone knows the problems you have, He does. And He loves you. He wants what's best for you. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Oh, Father, Father, I just pray that Your Word was applied to open hearts. I just ask for Your words to come through me, Father, and I praise You for it, and thank You for giving the voice that I can speak them, and I praise You for that too, Father. Father, I just ask a special blessing upon all those here today that we would understand that salvation is such an awesome thing. Christ paid an awesome price for us. Father, I just ask that we would just understand that we just need to get back to Him. To be more like Christ is to be more like Him and what He did and said and how He treated people and the gamut of all that is, Father. It's amazing how He was. Father, we just keep looking every day to be more like you. Praising you, magnifying your name, and thanking you. Father, I praise you and I love you. Father, I just ask you, Holy Spirit, we'll be working here this morning, applying all these words to people's lives, mine especially, that I can be in service for you. Father, I praise you and I love you. Precious name we pray. Amen. Jesse's going to come forward. I'll be down here this morning. We offer this time.